We've been listening to various avatars so far. You know, we learned about four Kumaras. We learned about different avatars, and we see that the Lord comes, does some pastimes here, elevate some of the devotees' problems, or comes in response to someone's prayers. And when somebody's praying, they're praying when they're in distress, or when there is, there is a problem to be solved. And we keep hearing, that this place is Dukhalyam Ashashvatam. So when this place is full of misery, when this place is temporary, why did Lord created this place? Why did Lord? Does Lord wants us to go through the cycle? And all these things are going on in the mind. And when I tried to look for class on this shloka, I found class by His Holiness Ramapad Swami Maharaj. And first thing he addresses this, my question of that why this world's created. And he says there are two primary reasons that this material world is manifested. So, first reason is that we were hankering to enjoy away from Krishna. Like a child, he is hankering to eat chocolate, knowing that, it will spoil his teeth. A child is hankering to do something which is not good for him, but then sometimes when he persists again and again, then parents says, okay, go ahead, do it, let experience it. So this world is created for reason one is that, for us to fulfill that desire we were hankering to move away, enjoy away from Krishna. Like we have this example in modern theory of carrot and stick. Carrot and stick theory, that you have this donkey on which they put like a carrot and stick. So carrot is always away from, same distance away from donkey, and donkey is thinking that he's running towards carrot, and as soon as he eats the carrot, he will be satisfied. And as soon as donkey stops, the washerman who's sitting on the donkey slaps him. So he has two motivations to run. One is that carrot, which he will think that after eating this carrot, he will be satisfied. And once he stops, he gets that smack from the washerman sitting on him. So this material world is like that, we are always hankering for happiness, permanent happiness, that we will always be happy here. We keep running, and as soon as we stop, there's a smack of reality, they say, and then we have to again start running again. So the smack comes in form of miseries. Or another example is mirage. There's a story in scriptures of this deer who's running after finding the mirage in desert by sun's reflection on silica. He thinks that there is water, so he keeps running, chasing that water in this marusthal, and he dies because there is no water there. So we are finding this pool of water in this material world, or you're trying to find that carrot in this material world, where by definition it doesn't exist, because by definition of this material world is Dukhalyam Ashashvatam, meaning this is temporary and full of miseries. Even Brahma has a definite lifespan, as he was explaining in the previous verses. And then, when there is there are two types of annihilations. So one are like partial annihilations and one is full annihilation. So the partial annihilation comes, you know, after every day of Manu, wherein all the planets from lower till upper, the fire starts, is explained in Bhagavatam, and then fire raises above and burns all the planets. And the ashes created from all these planets fall down in the ocean like a effervescent tablet, you know, like we put this vitamin C tablet and this the effervescence. So all these ashes go in that, dissolve in that. And then when Brahma wakes up, he starts the creation again. He starts creating the planets again. Again, he resets the cycle of creation. And first thing he does is he manifests the Vedas. So this is the second purpose of creation. So first purpose is we were hankering to enjoy away from Krishna. The second purpose, that Brahma creates these Vedas so that we can inquire why we are here and perfect our life. So this is our opportunity. It's like a correction house for us, you know. This is like a jail for us. So we come in this here, we realize our identity, we ask questions, we inquire from spiritual master, we look at the Vedas and ask that why we are here and correct our life. So these are the two main purposes. And then when Lord creates this material world, he comes in different forms and avatars, which we've heard in previous shlokas and Bhagavad Gita as well, you know, that there are two reasons Lord appears, paritranaya sadhunam, yeah, vinashaya chadushkatam, dham samsthapnarthaya sambhavani yuge yuge. So dham samsthapnarthaya has direct link to this shloka, wherein Lord Hayagriva has come to rescue Vedas. So Vedas are meant for establishing the bona fide religion. So when all these Vedas were written, they all the niyam, agra, all those things were written, and they were divided into various. We heard in previous classes that these are divided into various sections, and there are particular meanings for those things. And it was so very confusing for the reader that the writer of Vedas himself was not satisfied that, oh, I've written so much, but I'm not getting juice. I'm not getting the ras out of it. Then when Narad Muni gave him instructions that the reason why you're not getting the taste is because the Lord's not glorified enough. And then the Bhagavatam was written and the Bhagavad Gita was written. So these are the two reasons why we have this, you know, this material world created. One is for us to fulfill our desire to enjoy away from Krishna, and the other to realize our identity, to inquire ourselves, inquire that what is the real purpose of this world, what we are doing right now here, you know, like trying to understand that what is the purpose of life, why we are here. Then Srila Prabhupada explained in one class that the biggest illusion is Maya. Maya means not this. And what is that not this? That not this is that we are not this body, we are soul. And there was so when we realize these knowledge through the eyes of Vedas, and submissively inquire from this to the spiritual master, then you know we start working on those. So once we have identified what is the root cause, then we start working on those lines, that you know how we can progress on the life of line of bhakti. So here Srila Prabhupada followed this disciplic succession of translating all these books, and we got this beautiful pastimes of the Lord, where Lord is being glorified and Lord's various forms are glorified. Now in Bhagavad Gita there is lot of places Lord's been addressed as Madhusudana. Yeah. And what does that Madhusudana means? The killer of demon Madhu. So there was an article in Back to Godhead, and some devotee did some research, and he found out that there is no pastimes where Krishna in his Krishna avatar killed a demon Madhu. So he tried to find various scriptures. You know, he looked at the commentaries by Baldev Vidyabhushan. He looked at other commentaries. He looked at Bhagavatam, various references to the Krishna's pastimes, and he couldn't find Madhusudan. The word Madhusudan. So then he tried to make reference to it, you know, like when Krishna was called Madhusudan and what happened. So you see, what's the relevance in the name, we think, you know, naam mein kya rakha hai, why he is calling Krishna with these names. But then when he made references and looked at commentaries, he saw that first Krishna was called Madhusudan in Shloka 1.34, where Krishna is saying that when Arjun is saying, "Oh Madhusudan, why should I kill my teachers and my elders and relatives?" And then subsequently, and he refers, Madhusudan means killer of demon Madhu. So kill my doubts as well. As you kill that demon Madhu, kill my doubts as well. And then in Shloka 2.4, he again says that, then in Shloka 2.1, Sanjaya addresses Lord as Madhusudan. So Lord, Sanjaya is saying that then Lord Madhusudan spoke following words. So they're giving this reference to know that, yeah, something is coming which will kill Arjuna's doubt, which were like manifesting like demons in his mind. Yeah. So, and then Krishna gives the instruction in 2.13, Dehino smin yatha dehe kamaram yavanam jara tatha dehantara praptis dhiras tatranamoyas. He's saying that whoever you think you're going to fight or will die in the battle will in fact change the change the body, like how one changes clothes. Yeah. And then in Shloka 6.33, again Arjuna asks that, "Oh Madhusudan, this system of yoga which you have told me looks unendurable for me." And your unendurable means I can't endure it. So here Krishna explains that by practice you can conquer this, by practice and detachment you can achieve this state. So again, Arjuna had doubt, you know, like how this yoga system which you have explained and how I will be able to do it. So this question's answer Krishna gives in subsequent shlokas that by practice and detachment, he can achieve that state of yoga, wherein, you know, we can unite our consciousness completely in Krishna's lotus feet. Then in shloka 8.2, Arjuna's telling Lord that Arjuna is again asking Lord, "Oh Madhusudan, who's the Lord of sacrifice? How does he live in the body? Madhusudana, please tell me, how can those engaged in devotional service know you at the time of death?" So when Krishna's told him that, you know, all the stages, all the yoga systems, then Arjuna is asking that, "Oh Madhusudan, please tell me identity of the sacrifice personified, and tell me how a person can remember you at the time of death." So Lord replies, Lord dispels Arjuna's doubt, how he killed demon Madhusudan in the form of Hayagriva. He says, "Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mam anusmara yudhyacha maya arpito mano buddhir mam evasasi asamshaya." Asamshaya means without any doubt. So he is saying, the Lord is saying that one who performs his activities always thinking of me and dedicates his results of activities to me, without any doubt, he will come back to me. So, you know, like when this Lord's being called Madhusudan, he's dispelling Arjun's these doubts, how he killed demon Madhu. Now, coming back to the pastimes, there are three different versions of this pastime, and when such things happens, when you have like multiple version of these pastimes, Srila Prabhupada explains that these pastimes are done in different times, maybe different days of Manu, or maybe in different planets or different universes, but they all have the similar principles behind it, or similar learnings behind them, or reasons behind them. So one version of appearance of Lord Hayagriva is that when Lord Brahma was manifesting these Vedas, when he woke up from the slumber and he was trying to create the new version of material world, the Agyan personified stole the Vedas and took it to the Patal Lok. And then when Brahma got distressed, where does he go? He goes to Lord Vishnu. And then Lord Vishnu takes incarnation as Hayagriva and goes to Patal, and then brings the Vedas back, restores the Vedas. So now two learnings from that, you know, whenever a devotee gets distressed, their only shelter is lotus feet of Lord. You know, jab bacche ko kuch chahiye rehta, to where does he goes to papa, that, you know, daddy I want this, daddy I want that. So that's he's our daddy. So Brahma is going to father, that, you know, like, I'm in distress, let me please help me. And why Lord goes and restores Vedas back to the world? Because Vedas are providing, which includes the Puranas, which includes the Bhagavad, all the Shastras, you know, Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, so that we, you know, we can perfect our life. We can go to Vedas, find our real identity and perfect our life so that we can go back to Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada followed the importance of these Vedas by translating all these books and he followed the footsteps of acharyas. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he launched the movement, Harinam Sankirtan movement. He was doing Harinam Sankirtan town and town and villages and freely distributing Hare Krishna Mahamantra. But then he didn't stop there. He commissioned the six Goswamis to translate this, to get the scriptures in writing, to write these scriptures. And then then Srila Jeev Goswami instructed three of his disciples, Narottam Das Thakur, Srivas Acharya, and Shyamanand Goswami, to write these scriptures and distribute it. So they would write heaps and heaps of scriptures on the leaves and put it on bullock cart and go in villages and towns and distribute them, so that the Vedas are re-established, the authority of Vedas or scriptures are re-established, and people become more knowledgeable. Now, how do you think that having a knowledge can help cross this ocean of pertinent? So try to understand that if we didn't have this knowledge about all these teachings which Srila Prabhupada has given, we wouldn't have been able to practice it, isn't it? We would have lived in ignorance. So having knowledge is first step, but that's not sufficient. We have to then implement it in our life. All these things which we are studying in the Bhagavatam classes and Bhagavad Gita classes, that Matra Sparshas to Kaunteya Sitoshna Sukha Dukhada Agma Paino Nitya Stam Titiksha Bharata, that we have to be some in winter, as the winter comes and summer, winter goes and summer comes and summer goes, same way misery comes and happiness comes and goes. We have to stay fixed in our devotional service. We have to stay fixed in our sadhana. So we have to implement this knowledge, like when something comes on our own head, we may start to look, to take shelter here, there, but then at that time is when there's a test, then it is correct thing to see, how much, then we have to see that how much surrendered I am, how much faith I have on Lord. Yeah. So we don't need to stop at just having the knowledge, but we have to see how we can implement this knowledge as well. So then when these three Goswamis did this service of distributing the scriptures, after some time, the link stopped. And then it was reignited with Bhaktivinod Thakur, where he set up the printing press and he would print these scriptures, print the prayers of all these acharyas, these Vaishnava song books which we have, and he started distributing that. So somebody asked Bhaktivinod Thakur that how much would the bhakti cost. So he said bhakti would cost 2 anas, because he was selling those song books for 2 anas. He says who buys this song book of 2 anas will definitely get bhakti. All the prayers of the acharyas, they tell us what to pray to Lord. Each of those songs in the song book are real, real treasure. When we make Lord sleep, we pray this, Radha Krishna Pran Mura Jugal Kishora. So they are our life and death. Yeah? If we have to implement those, if we know that, Lord, please make this Radha and Krishna as our life and soul. Jivane Marane Gati Or Nahi Mura, We don't need anything else. So Srila, then Bhaktivinoda Thakur was following the footsteps and re-establishing the distribution of books. Srila Prabhupada carried it further. You know, we were reading the book Salted Bread. I don't know, has anybody heard about this book, Salted Bread? Yeah. So Salted Bread is written by a devotee in Russia when, you know, the Srila Prabhupada's movement was picking up. These devotees in Russia was part of, was under the anarchic rules. Srila Prabhupada only went there once and he met only two or three devotees. Who accepted Prabhupada as spiritual master when he visited. But then when Prabhupada left, his books were printed by these devotees, and the Prabhu explains that how difficult it was to print. So there was so much emphasis on printing the books that they bought like second-hand machines, took it in, they were hiding it in the basement, they were printing these books, and these books were, you know, hand-stitched by devotees in the basement, like at a war footing, like how, you know, armies work in war. They were working on the war footing. And you see right now in Russia, when you go to temple, some days, like when I went, I was the only Indian over there. And these Matajis who were giving classes, they were saying shlokas after shloka, shlokas after shloka. And there's like spiritual, they were having these structured scripture studies program being run there. They say that in Rath Yatra there are 20,000 devotees participate in Moscow itself. So this is all done by the scriptures of Prabhupada. You know, all these Srila Prabhupada's books which were printed and distributed, because they couldn't have been a temple, they couldn't have been Sankirtan, they couldn't have been, you know, big discourses at that time. So this Prabhu who was caught printing Prabhupada's books, he was put in the darkest of the jails, thinking that, you know, he's brainwashing people, or why it is getting so popular, why people are picking up so quickly this Krishna consciousness. So he used to get breads to eat. So he used to make beads of this bread, salted breads, and chant his japa on those salted bread beads. That's why the name of the book is Salted Bread. And when he was taken out of jail, he couldn't see, he couldn't bear the light of sun, because he was so used to darkness inside. It was so dark. But he's sharing, I mean, my ears are standing on the end. When he's sharing all these things in his books, he's saying that this calamity on him of putting in jail raised his faith many more level. Because devotee takes even the problems as the blessings from Lord. Like as Queen Kunti is saying that all these miseries make me remember you constantly. So devotees even, I mean, I was speaking to Komal Mataji the other day that, you know, when a devotee is doing devotional service, he is not doing anything different what he will do in Golok Vrindavan. So for him, this material world and Golok Vrindavan is not different, because when he is in Golok Vrindavan, he will do the same thing. He will serve the Lord. When he is here in material world, he is doing the same thing, serving the Lord. In Golok Vrindavan, he is always dependent on Lord's mercy. Here also, he is always dependent on Lord's mercy. In Golok Vrindavan, he will do everything to please the Lord. Here also he will do everything to please the Lord. In Golok Vrindavan, he is always in constant devotional, he is in constant association of Lord. Here also he is in constant association of Lord because he is carrying Lord in his heart. No, devotee said that wherever Prabhupada went, he took Vrindavan with him because he had Vrindavan in his heart. So wherever Prabhupada's charan touched, those places became places of pilgrimage. Be it New Vrindavan in Hungary, be it Radha Desh in Belgium, be it Radha Parisveshwar in Paris. Wherever he went, whichever place he touched, whichever place his books reached, those places became Vrindavan. So that tells the importance of knowledge, importance of Vedic scriptures. That's why Lord incarnated as Hayagriva, horse-like face and human body, to rescue Vedas, so that this important knowledge we gain to perfect our life, so that we can discuss it today, like that. Then he has four, in this form, he has four hands, and two hands have death. One hand is giving the Vedas, one hand is carrying the lotus, and one hand is carrying disc. In the other version of another version of the same pastimes, it's said that when Lord Vishnu was lying down on the Anantashesh, a wax came out of his ear, and from that wax, these two big demons manifested, Madhu and Kathab. And the Brahma was sleeping, these Madhu and Kathab steal the Vedas and run away. Now, when these Madhu and Kathab were running away, they were demoniac, but all this knowledge they received, they prayed to Lakshmi Devi. And they asked Lakshmi Devi got happy with them, and they asked boon that please give us boon that we will die only when wish so. So Lakshmi Devi gives them boon, and they start to create, as they were miscreants with all this power they got and all the Vedas they were stealing, they got a bit miscreant and they started to create a disturbance in the world. Then again Lord Brahma reached out to Lord Vishnu, and Lord Vishnu incarnated. So from, as in this shloka, Lord Brahma is saying that Lord Vishnu appear higher in the form of Hayagriva from the fire sacrifice, and he is the sacrifice personified. And from his nostrils, all the hymns of Vedas were coming. So then Lord in the form of Hayagriva goes, defeats these Madhu and Kathab, and restores the Vedas back. And then Madhu and Kathab had the boon from Mother Lakshmi. So Lord plays an intelligent trick, and Lord speaks sweet words from them. And then these Madhu and Kathab says, "Okay, what you want from us?" So Lord says, "Okay." Then he tells his desire that they get killed. and they say okay, so they surrender to Lord and then get killed by Lord because they had the boon from Mother Lakshmi. So Mother Lakshmi's boon was also kept, and Lord Vishnu also got protected. So Lord's each pastime is unlimited, and Lord's each pastimes have so much love for his devotees that it's become so reassuring for us, isn't it? Sorry. And the third version is that Hayagriva is a name of a demon who's very ferocious, and he also in another version wherein this Hayagriva demon steals the Vedas, and Lord Supreme Personality of Godhead in Vishnu form kills Hayagriva and restores the Vedas back. So I mean, on there are three versions, but then the baseline is same. The importance of, you know, have importance of the Vedic literature, importance of the scriptures for us to learn from those scriptures and implement those scriptures in our life. Then question comes that when we have these scriptures, how we implement, who is eligible to get this mercy? What is the eligibility criteria for us? So Rupa Goswami has given these eligibility criteria that we have to, you know, Utsaha Nishchayadharya. So we have to be super enthusiastic for our devotional life. We should have eagerness to progress, and we need to have patience because it doesn't comes like this. It may come like this by Krishna's mercy, but with the karmas and the baggages of so many births and so many desires. I mean, if you see only in this birth, we had so many desires, yeah. And you multiply that by millions of births, so it's like trillions of desires and trillions of karmas we had. Having all those things in our baggage, it's not easy. It may not be easy that we attain the perfection like this. It may happen, you know, like there, as we've heard that sadhu sang, sadhu sang, sadhu sang hoy love matra. Yeah? What is that, Anand Vrindavan Prabhu, about the sadhu sangha?
Sadhu sangha
Sadhu
sarva shastra kaya,
sangha,
lava matra sadhu
sadhu
sangha sarva
sangha.
siddhi kaya.
Thank you, Prabhu. Yeah. So it can happen in this, but what happened with Narad Muni, what happened with Katvanga Muni, but we can be only hopeful. When will it happen? No, we have to keep trying, and by patience we will definitely achieve it. So Utsaha Nishchayadharya, we have to implement this so that we have to be super enthusiastic. We have some devotees who are naturally enthusiastic, you know, like when you call Giriraj Prabhu, that Prabhu, this is the service, he'll say, yes Prabhu, yeah, I will do it, let's do it, you know, let's create this. So there's natural propensity, natural this. You call Sumit Prabhu, yeah, I want to host program, I want to do this, I want to do that, you know, like. So these the devotees are taking this service attitude. So when we have this Utsaha Nishchayadharya, these are our qualities, and then there are 25 qualities of Vaishnavas. I'll just try to pull out on the screen given in the scriptures, and these 25 qualities, there are 26 qualities of Vaishnava, and out of those 26 qualities, they're divided into two qualities, two types. One is Swarup quality, and this one, I don't know the print, I'll just put it on the screen so it will be good. So the Swarup quality is one, Swarup quality is one quality which is having complete surrender to Krishna, and the remaining 25 qualities are depending on the first quality. So the first is Swarup quality and 25 are Tathastha qualities. So the first quality, one Swarup quality, if we have that one Swarup quality, then only we can manifest the other 25 qualities of Vaishnavas. So I'll just read out. He is very kind to everyone. He does not make anyone his enemy. He is truthful. He is equal to everyone. No one can find any fault in him. He is magnanimous. He is wild. He is mild. He is always clean. He is without possessions. He works for everyone's benefit. He is very peaceful. He is always surrendered to Krishna. He has no internal material desires. He is very meek. He is very steady. He controls his senses. He does not eat more than required. He does not eat more than required. He offers respect to everyone. He does not desire any respect from everyone. He is merciful. He is friendly. He is poetic. He is an expert. He is silent. So all the 25 qualities are dependent on one Swarup quality, which is that Vaishnavas are always compassionate. Now, if we have to see these qualities and see that how does it looks, how does it feels, we have to see something, when we are buying some usual stuff, we want to go and see, look and feel that how does it feel. Like if you're buying to buy a cloth, which costs only, very little amount, we still want to see where we are investing that money. So we're very careful and we go and we see about how does it looks and feels. We try it on, like that. And then we buy it. Now, we are talking about something where we are trying to invest all our life. So we are trying to invest all our life in bhakti. So we have to see what could be the end result, What is the look and feel to be a bhakta? So we can see that in our Guru Maharajas, that what it is to be the bhakta. So doing this aarti in the morning, we sing that Nikunj yuno rati keli sedhyai yayale bhayukte apaikshaniya tatrati dakshat ati valabhasya vande guru shri charna ravindam. So he is always this personality who's bhakta, who's our guru, he's always engaged in service of Radha and Krishna's pastimes. And every day, every time, when you see Guru Maharaj, His Holiness Bhakti Prem Govinda Swami Maharaj ki jai. He's doing his japa session in the morning, or he's doing his bhagavatam, he's after his classes or kirtan, he gives darshan of his deities, and the amount of efforts he would have put in serving his Radha and Govinda. I remember this shloka from verse from the Aarti, that yes, he's perfectly manifesting the qualities of Guru mentioned by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in this prayer. Now he has this Radha Govinda deities, they're only this big. And you see the amount of service he does, you know, in terms of decorating such a nice turban and nice garland, and all his shaligrams nicely decorated, all his Girirajas nicely decorated with nice turbans, everything. So to get this look and feel, you know, like what it means if we perfect our life, then it will motivate us to go towards that. When you know that, oh, it looks so nice, this BMW car, I did trial and it drives so well, I need to have it. You know, you get the desire. That's why they do this trial runs, so that you get this strong desire to buy that, and you go and buy that, you know, $100,000 car. So when we see these devotees, when we see that how munificent they are, how perfect they are in their service, how surrendered they are. You know, when for something we ask Guru Maharaj that, you know, Guru Maharaj, we see need your blessings for certain thing. He said, yeah, I will pray to Radha and Shyam Sundar. So he didn't say, yeah, you have my blessings. He says, I will seek blessings. I will pray to Radha and Shyam Sundar. So humble, you know, so full of humility. So when we see that this knowledge is making someone perfect, it builds faith in us that when we apply this knowledge in our life, one day we will get perfection. No? Guru Maharaj has taken, Srila Prabhupada has taken that vow, Guru Maharaj has taken that vow that, you know, that they, if we do our side of duties, chanting 16 rounds, following four regulated principles, reading Prabhupada's books, they will take care of us. They will take care of our destination. And Krishna said, when Arjuna asked him, that how does it happen? How does someone remembers you while leaving the body? And Krishna told him, you know, Krishna told him, Tasma Sarveshu Kaleshu. Krishna told him that who's dedicating all his activities and constantly remembering me, without a doubt comes back to me. And Asamshaya, there is no doubt about it. Asamshaya. So let's have that faith. And please, please bless me that I develop that faith in Lotus Feet of Lord. Hare Krishna. So thank you very much for devotees for patiently listening to me and bearing with my croaking. And humble request is that pray to Lotus Feet of Lord that whatever I spoke, So whatever,
Not only that, if you introduce yourself.
So whatever I spoke, I can implement it in my life. Yeah. Thank you, my Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Thanks a lot. So any questions, comments, please, we can address them now.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Yes, Prabhu, yeah.
Prabhuji, Ved ke baare mein, Gita mein bhi bola gaya hai ki, Krishna ne Arjun ko bola ki, iske flowery word, jo flowery word ke baare mein adhyan nahi dene ke liye. But कहीं भी एक clear guidelines नहीं है whether we have to read the Gita, read the Ved, yes or no. So, I mean, since childhood, हम लोग ये सुने कि जो सनातन धर्म का जो base है, that is Ved. So, प्रभु जी, for my question is कि what our Guru Maharaj are telling, whether we have to read the Vedas or we don't have to read. Because the Veda is so vast that if I will start now, it will take at least 2 years to finish it. And after then, I know that, okay, it is not recommended by our gurus. I mean, it's just a waste of time.
So these flowery words of Vedas may confuse someone. But as this world, I mean, as I said, there are two purpose of this world, correct? There are devotees who want to come correct themselves and go back, and there are people like us who wants to come and enjoy here. So for those who wants to come and enjoy here, Lord provides for that as well. You know, like when sun is rising, Anand Vrindavan Prabhu told in his class, when sun is rising, sun is giving light to you, me, American, British, African, everyone same. He's sum to everyone. Similarly, those who have come for fruitive activities, fruitive results, for them Veda gives them that as well. So if you want rain, you do this yajna and you get rain. If you want a good sun, you do this yajna, you get good sun, like that. But the crux of all the Vedas is to know Krishna. You know, Vedeshu Sarveshu, there's a shloka where Lord is saying that the purpose of Vedas is to know Him. So, for benefit of people in Kali Yuga, we have Bhagavad Gita and we have Srimad Bhagavatam, which has juice of all the Vedas, and we can perfect our life by just reading the scriptures, which develop love for the Lord. That's why wasting time in going through Vedas is not recommended, because life is too short, Prabhu. This life is too short and this life is very unpredictable. So to make sure that we make best use of bad bargain, as Prabhupada keeps saying, best use of bad bargain, we have to catch Prabhupada's dhoti and read all his books. But if you'll read, you know, if you don't want to do the big books, if you take small books like, you know, Queen of Kunti, Prayers of Kunti Maharani, it's only a chapter from Bhagavatam which deals with the prayers by Kunti Maharani. Then if you'll say Prahlad Maharaj, is a small book of Prahlad Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada's book, it's a chapter from Bhagavatam which talks about the prayers by Prahlad Maharaj. So this is why we have to, you know, we have to stick to the books by Prabhupada, so that we don't waste our time, which we don't have. I mean, to be honest, we don't have time. So let's stick to basics, you know, what Prabhupada has told. Let's try to implement the four regulative principles, chanting holy names of God 16 rounds every day, and read Prabhupada's book, we don't have to do anything else. Not required. I hope it satisfied your question.
Yeah, thank you, Prabhuji.
So, Dhamma Prabhu, would you like to add anything?
Very well, Prabhu. I think your answer was very precise to what Prabhu was asking. Also, you should note that in the beginning of Bhagavatam, in the first